It's Rockstar, and you are listening to episode 5 of the SMG Podcast. Okay, just to let you guys know, as we said before, today is Anime North in Toronto. Yes, the biggest anime convention ever, and me and Chisholm will be heading there soon. We will be interviewing some people for the video game tournament, but right now Chisholm's not right here, so I will be the only one doing the video game news. He's going to step in later, so let's get things started here. So we're going to talk about video game news, some big news today, BioShock coming to PS3. Such as that, and we're going to have an editorial for you, which will keep us a surprise. As usual, we'll have video game reviews. This week, we're going to review Baten Kaitos for the GameCube and Digimon for the DS. You'll see. We're going to have a special guest, so stay tuned for that. Video game news. So, the first thing we got here is BioShock. Remember how we said BioShock was going to come to the PS3? Well, it's been confirmed. BioShock is going to be for sure for the PS3, and we don't know when it's going to come out, but it should be this year. And as for if there's any updates, there hasn't been. 2K has been really quiet about it, so we don't really know what's going on. All we know is that BioShock is for sure is going to come to the PS3, which is surprising because we always thought it was going to be an Xbox 360 exclusive, but now it's going to be for the PlayStation 3. Next up, Ubisoft makes $1.5 billion in earnings. Wow, $1.5 billion. Yeah, it's been a great year for Ubisoft. Obviously, they've released a lot of good games, such as Assassin's Creed. And it's interesting, too, because I have a friend. She's from one of the message boards. Her name's Miss Quark. And she was telling me all about she was trying to get hired at Ubisoft and how great of a company they are. So you can see why they're making so much money, because they really, a lot of their games are really good. I mean, while some people might debate that they make crappy games like EA, but I disagree. I think they make some great games, so good job for them. And they've just announced that they have 5 new titles up in, well, maybe not new, but they have 5 titles in development that are considered to be big gaming franchises. So let me read them out to you. This one's called Hawks, H-A-W-X. The next game is N-War. And another one is Sean White Snowboarding, which sounds like Sean Palmer Snowboarding, which wasn't so successful, made by Activision, but maybe this one would be alright. And Haze just came out too. Some pretty mediocre reviews. I'm not sure if that game's alright. Let me know though if it's alright. And just announced the new Prince of Persia. Prince of Persia is coming out again. Oh, just a reminder there that Ubisoft is still owned by Electronic Arts. Well, not all of it. Just 20% of Ubisoft's shares are owned by Electronic Arts. Guitar Hero. Yes, there's more details about the next Guitar Hero. Now, this one's not going to be called Guitar Hero 4. It's going to be called Guitar Hero World Tour. And so far, Activision's announced that Van Halen, Linkin Park, Sublime, and the Eagles will be included in this game. There'll probably be more artists as the release date gets closer. And there's going to be downloadable content, including for the Wii as well, even though it doesn't have a hard drive, or a very small one. And also, this is interesting, there'll be a new Battle of the Bands gameplay mode, because now that we got new instruments for it, such as like the drums and everything, bands will be able to compete with each other. So you can play 4 people against 4 people, either locally, which probably won't happen because there's so many instruments, or online, which will happen the most. It's probably going to be released in the fall, as usual. And lastly, Pac-Man is going to make it to the big screens. Yes, there's going to be a Pac-Man movie. According to GameSpot, Crystal Skies Pictures is going to be the one that's making this. Not you, Bull. Not you, Bull. So rest assured that this movie might actually be good, hopefully, unlike the other movies that I've video game movies that I've seen, which are crap. Hopefully this will be good. I don't know what the plot's going to be about, though. Pac-Man? Guess we're going to have to find out and see. Alright, guys. That's all the video game news this week. It was kind of weird doing it alone without Chisholm, without his second opinion, to tell you the truth. So I hope I don't have to do this again next week. Hopefully I'll have somebody accompanying me doing this video game news. Alright, let's move on to our next section, our editorial.
Oh, you touch my tra-la-la. My ding-ding-dong.
I'm exhausted, I just got here, but where the hell was my part in the news?
Yo, hey, you took too long to come over, so I just skipped to it.
Yo, I had to go eat, man. Eating is good.
Yeah, okay, you do that. Alright, let's move on to our next section. Editorial. Editorial time. What are we going to talk about?
What are we going to talk about?
Why video games go bad.
Why video games go bad in what sense?
Like, why are video games are Yeah. I mean, people don't just make video games bad for a living, like EA or something. There's always a reason why they do that.
So this is almost like last week's where we had it, the video game failures that are good, but this time, they're just bad.
Exactly. Actually, I was reading an article in Electronic Gaming Monthly about why video games gone bad, which is my inspiration for talking about this editorial. And there's actually a lot of reasons why video games turn bad. I mean, I don't think nobody in their right mind actually wants to make a bad video game. Intentionally, everyone tries to make a good video game that sells well. What do you think?
I think I didn't listen to what you just said.
You asshole. Okay. Alright, let's talk about... I read that article a long time ago, though, so it's still kind of in my head. But I think one of the main reasons why video games go bad is because of the development process. And during the development process, there's a lot of things that can happen, a lot of conflicts that can happen that make a video game go bad. Like, one of them was a developer change. Like, if the main, like, the main programmer of the game is not, like, leaves the company, it plays a huge role in how the video game turns out. Like, I remember reading that article, and it was, they didn't tell you the game way it was, but the main programmer left, and that really just screwed up the whole development process of it.
How about Zelda? I heard the programmer for Zelda left Zelda, and then he went to Super Mario Galaxy.
Really? Which game was that? Twilight Princess?
Exactly.
Well, fortunately, Twilight Princess turned out to be pretty good, didn't it?
It wasn't what it was supposed to be, though. It wasn't 10, like they expected.
Well, yeah, 8.8, exactly.
And Mario Galaxy was the one that got the benefit, because they had the real producer.
Yes, exactly. So, when key programmers, developers, or people from the studio leave, that's one of the reasons why video games turn out bad. Alright, Chisholm. What else do you think of why video games turn bad?
It's gotta be the... Did you already say budget? I don't know, because...
Yeah, the budget. I mean, some video game companies don't even have that much money to hire that many producers and programmers. So, they gotta work with what they got. So, and unfortunately, sometimes that doesn't always work that way. So, that's why you see so many glitches in the game. Why some parts of the game are unbalanced. Why the graphics suck. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's kind of... I'm confused because I'm playing DS.
Man, get in the podcast.
Alright. Give me the DS back.
No. Come on, tell the listeners what you think of this.
Okay, I have to say lazy developers, because like, we can tell by Guitar Hero 3 is a main example that they're just getting lazy. They know their products are selling by the third iteration.
I want to talk about Guitar Hero 3 another time, because I have a big opinion on how the third version went about that.
Yeah, but anyways, you can compare it to any series. You're going to get lazy, like for Halo, any major series, Smash Bros.
Which brings me to my next point. One of the other reasons why video games turn bad is because of they're lazy. Exactly. They're really lazy. Because once you got like a license down, like a big logo down, then it doesn't really matter how crap the game is, because they know that the game will sell regardless. Like, take a look at the movie-based games. When a movie comes out, people want to play the video game based on the movie. So, no matter how garbage the game is, they're still going to buy it.
Yep, and what companies also like to do is when there's a movie franchise, they may just make a really great game like GoldenEye, and then after that, they make games even after the movie, and they all suck.
I'd say GoldenEye was an exception. One of the greatest games ever, based on a movie.
Yeah, I'm just saying that after GoldenEye, right, they would have other games that were not based on movies at all because they knew people bought into the GoldenEye franchise, and those games would suck, so people would get ripped off.
Yep, that's called milking the franchise, and that's why they are lazy, because you got something to say, Chisholm?
Yeah, especially Pokemon, Mario, those guys are big milkers.
Oh yeah, especially Pokemon. I don't remember, like, there's only like one or two games that are actually good. The rest, like Pokemon Coliseum and Mystery Dungeon, whatever the hell you call those games, they really suck.
Yep, as we heard on my review on episode 2, that Mystery Dungeon, I don't know if it was episode 2 or 1. Anyways, that review sucked.
Yeah, it did suck.
Yeah, so hopefully in the future we'll be reviewing our legit Pokemon game in Pokemon Platinum when it comes out later this year.
Yeah, man. It's also important to note that some video games developers have to release the game, because like I said in last episode, video games cost millions of dollars to produce, so you might as well try to release it and try to get some money off it rather than just cancel it.
Yep, it's the main issue with marketing, because if you need the product out by the time the movie comes out, you've got to release it. You can't just release it 2 months after and expect your audience to still buy it.
Crunch time is always a big issue here. I mean, when there's like a month left to, the hours go are crazy, like 80-hour work weeks and stuff, and it's hard to make a good game based like working that crazy hours. And when crunch time rolls around, that's why video games are delayed a lot, because of that reason.
Yeah, but there's major problems delays, like we saw with Zelda being outdated and Brawl being outdated slightly because of the delays. Delays are not the answer.
It depends sometimes. I mean, some delays are good. I mean, some delays are positive. Like people say, oh, a delay is good, it'll make the game better, but sometimes it could go way too far. Like some Rareware games, like Star Fox Adventures, that game was delayed about 2 years. And I think that was, and when the game came out, it wasn't even that great. So some delays are unnecessary. I don't know why, but some delays are good, like Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
And some delays are just for marketing purposes, like Super Smash Bros. Brawl, because it already came out in January in Japan, and we have to wait forever here. It's just a marketing delay.
Is that right? I think it would have been better if it was released before Christmas.
Yeah, they probably could have got it for Christmas, but they
They were just trying to add Sonic or something.
Yeah, they're probably just marketing delay, just like Wii Fit. Wii Fit was supposed to come out last year, and then we all know how much marketing that game gets.
That game sucks anyway. I played it at Nintendo World. Don't know why they had to delay it.
I played it this week, and I have actually gained 6 pounds this week playing the game. It's pretty fun.
You gained 6 pounds? Aren't you supposed to lose weight?
I'm pretty skinny, man. I'll post some pics on the forums one day.
Oh, please don't. Oh, no. Yeah, so it's always better just to release a game, so which is why some games turn out to be full of glitches and stuff. But that's why we have video game reviews, so we know which games to get and which games not to get.
What?
Man, you paying attention? Are you high? Like, honestly.
I think so. I think so. I was just thinking, I wanted to talk so badly about the news, and I wanted to do the intro because last week I gave up my phone number and someone actually called me. That was a girl, I think. I don't know.
You don't know if it was a girl or not.
It sounded like a little girl.
Oh, that's good. Good for you, man. But you came too late, so I had to do the video games on my own. And hey, look at this. My special guest here is playing Halo 3, and he's. Oh, he just got shot. Wow. Well, that's all I gotta say about why video games turn bad. I don't really remember everything that Electronic Gaming Monthly said, but those are the few reasons why video games turn out bad. I mean, nobody really wants to produce a bad game. It's just things happen, conflicts occur, time crunches. These are like the main reasons why video games turn out to be the way they are.
What?
Okay, whatever. I think I gotta get him off the show for this episode. He looks too stoned. Seriously? So, if you got your 2 cents, I know a lot of listeners have your 2 cents on about these video games. So, head on to our forums at www.thesmg.tk or email us at smgcanada@gmail.com and tell us what you think. Next up is Name That Video Game Tune. And this week, episode 5, we have this track right here. some spooky music, isn't it? I bet half of you guys won't even know what that is. I'll give you guys a hint. It's from an Xbox game. That's all I'm going to give you. That's the video game tune of the week. It's from an Xbox game. So, if you know the answer, email us at thesmgcanada@gmail.com. All right, we're going to tell you the answers to the other video game tunes next week in episode 6. So, stay tuned. Okay, guys. Since we don't have any video game rumors this week, we're going to start a new category, which is Top 10 Lists. Yes, Top 10 Lists. So every week, we're going to do a top 10 list of video games. It's just of... I'm getting distracted. I have so many guests over right now. But anyways, we're going to do a top 10 list for anything video game related. So this week, we got from Game Facts. It's the top 10 list. Top 10 ridiculously overpowered weapons ever. What do you think of that, Chisel?
Sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah. This is one of the featured... One of the features list. And... Let's get started here. Okay, as we all know, some video games have some really broken weapons. Like in Final Fantasy Tactics Advance, the Assassin Race. This is really overpowered. One-hit KOs, that's something wrong. All right, sit down, man. Make me nervous.
Yo, I want to stand up.
Sit down. Okay, all right. Holy. I'm not used to having this many people here. Yeah, it's like SARS all over again. Number 10 is... Number 10 on the list is Mewtwo from Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow. Okay, I'm only saying only Red, Blue, and Yellow because after that, they kind of fix him. But in Red and Blue, he is definitely broken. He has attacks that make him that boost his attack and defense, makes him pretty much invincible. And in Red and Blue, the psychic type was pretty much invincible because there weren't any really attacks that could kill psychic types. Can you remember, Chisholm?
Ghost?
Yeah, Ghost was a weakness, but there weren't any attacks that were Ghost-related. So, that pretty much made Mewtwo pretty much invincible to anything. So, you agree with that? Mewtwo invincible? I definitely agree with that. There's nothing... Mewtwo was unstoppable in Red and Blue, but now he's kind of balanced.
Yeah, but imagine Ash's Pikachu, which has like a million experience versus a Mewtwo.
No, Pikachu sucks. He didn't even have Surf back then.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he didn't.
Yeah, Pokemon Stadium.
Yeah, but then you have to cheat to get that. All right, number 9. Have you played GoldenEye?
Yes, of course I played GoldenEye.
Then what do you think of remote mines as a broken weapon?
It's awesome, and I don't know. I'm not a tourney fag.
Yes. Okay. According to the user, which is Weed Leader, Weed Lector, which says Cannabis Lector, he says remote mines are a broken weapon, and I can see why, because. You know how you could use your, you could detonate, if you press A and B, you could just blow it up right away. So pretty much you're just throwing rockets at people, if you look at it. You know what I mean, Chisholm?
Yeah, I know in the facility when I played multiplayer, that when I'd go to the top after dying, I'd come down the toilets, and then the freaking mime just kills me, I can't even stop it as soon as I come down.
Yep. I didn't even realize that, because I always thought, the Gold PP7 was the most broken weapon, because it was a one-hit KO, but... You can't use that in multiplayer, but this remote mine thing, I gotta play it now because I want to try that out. That's probably the best weapon ever.
Yeah, as soon as you come down to the toilets, and then the freaking line gets you, you can't stop it. There's no stopping. You're dead.
Exactly. So number 9, remote mines. Okay, you should know this, Chisholm. I never played this game. The Hookshot, number 8 for Link to the Past, the Super Nintendo version. The Hookshot's a cheap weapon. What do you think about that?
It's a pretty cool weapon. You can do, like, a hookshot for the first time in a Zelda game.
Yeah, but was it really cheap?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, though.
Yeah, because according to him, he says you could stun enemies. So you stun them, and then you kill them. It's a stunning kill.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. It was much better than one in Ocarina.
Oh, yeah. I like the double hookshot in Twilight Princess.
You should definitely pick this game up for your Game Boy Advance or for your virtual console if you haven't played it yet.
I haven't played it yet.
Pick it up for the Game Boy Advance, your virtual console, or...
I got no money. Got no time.
Download it.
Hey, I ain't downloading nothing. Okay, number 7. Oh, this one. Just, I'm sure, like, the bullet bill in the Wii version of Mario Kart. What do you think of that?
Yeah, even if you're big, even if you have a star, the bullet bill will still hit you. There's no stopping bullet bill.
Wait, is it any different from the one in Mario Kart DS? Because I know... In the Mario Kart DS version, the bullet bill goes straight in the middle. It's pretty much autopilot. Is it the same thing in Mario Kart Wii?
Yes, but this bullet bill kills anything, though. It kills anything in its path. If blue shell, no, nothing affects bullet bill. And in Mario Kart DS, bullet bill sometimes would run right off the path. This time, bullet bill's smart and stops in appropriate times.
Really? But does it, like, say if the player was on the side of the track, would it still hit him?
I do not know what you're saying.
Like, you know, okay, if you're in the middle of the track, obviously you're gonna get hit by the bullet bill, but you say if you're like on the edge of the track, like the edge of the road, would you still get hit?
Yeah.
Like, is it like auto detected?
Yeah, bullet bill sways and he hits people at random.
Oh, okay, now I can see why it's cheap. 'Cause see, I don't have Mario Kart Wii, so I don't know.
And also, bullet bill, if you're in, let's say you're 12th place, right? No matter how far back you are, bullet bill will keep going until you catch up to at least 11th place, even if you're like a lap behind.
Wow. See, blue shell ain't that cheap compared to the bullet bill.
Yeah, if you're losing, you want a bullet bill, not a blue shell, because it just hurts other people. Unless you're like 4th place, then you'd want a blue shell.
Yeah. Oh, just on a side note, remember when I was using the action replay, and all I got was bullet bills for the entire race?
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
I beat the race in like 30 seconds.
Yes,
alright, moving on. Number 6 is the pistol from Halo 1. Yeah, and I could see why it was so cheap. I mean, you had, according to this guy, you got 120 ammo in reserve, and it had a zoom-in function, so pretty much easy headshots, and it was a quick, fast weapon, unlike the other weapons which slow you down. So, yeah, one of my guests just suicided in Halo 3 right now. Yeah, but after Halo 2 and 3, the pistol just got weak. You couldn't zoom in anymore and everything, so it was balanced. But in Halo 1, the pistol was really broken. Number 5, Metal Blade in Mega Man 2. I don't remember. Was that a cheat? What did that do? I forgot.
It was pretty powerful. It sliced or anything. It nearly affected every single enemy. You know, like in Mega Man, some weapons don't do anything, but this one affected all the enemies.
I don't remember too much because I played the Mega Man Anniversary Collection for GameCube, so I remember a couple cheap weapons, but there were so many Mega Man games I can't remember, so I think this was one of the cheap ones there.
Yeah, along with this one and Freezing Time in Mega Man 2 were the cheapest ones.
I remember one where it can make you float for a bit.
Yeah, that's called Rush, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. I don't remember. But anyways, that's number 5 for you. Number 4, I don't know, I never played Final Fantasy Tactics, but there's this guy named Orlando. He seems to be an overpowered guy. Would you know?
What the heck is a Final Fantasy?
You don't know what Final Fantasy is? Oh yeah, you're the RPG hater, right?
Sounds like something dumb.
Guys, you ever played Final Fantasy Tactics?
No.
Okay, so.
I don't recognize that character though.
Yeah, I don't know, but.
Okay. Tactics Advance.
Yeah, but apparently this guy's pretty cheap, so I don't know too much, but yeah, he seems to be a broken guy. Number 3 here. Super Mario World, the cape. I agree, the cape is pretty cheap. I mean, you could go through level, you could go through, like, straight through the level if you have a cape, if you know how to fly it properly. What do you think of that?
Yeah, it's not fun either. It's not like the raccoon tail, it was actually fun.
Yeah, the cape was pretty cheap. Instead of going through levels and level those football guys, you just go fly right through them.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. At least, like, P-Power would die after a while. This thing just keeps going, and if you have Yoshi, it's over.
Yeah, I want to play this game again. I want to do that.
I didn't really like that game. That's probably one of the worst Mario games. It's worse than Mario's Time Machine.
Yo, that game is awesome. Super Mario World.
No, that's pretty bad. That's why I hate all the stupid tracks in Mario Kart that are like Super Nintendo, because they have to do with that crappy Mario World game.
Hater. Alright, number 2, The Far Sight in Perfect Dark. Yes, The Far Sight was freaking cheap, especially in multiplayer, because this gun can shoot through walls, so pretty much you could just be running, minding your own business, and boom, you get shot and you're dead. This gun is a one-hit kill, so it was a pretty cheap weapon. If you knew how to aim and everything, you had to play Perfect Dark to understand what I mean. This gun was pretty cheap. Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever played Perfect Dark?
When it came out, it was rated M for mature, so I couldn't play it.
Ha, that sucks for you. But yeah, The Far Sight. I'll post it up on the forums to let you guys know what I mean. And number 1. Can you guess what number 1 is?
It's got to be Blue Shell.
No, it's not. And Ganon should know this one. It's the Plaga Removal Laser in Resident Evil 4. See, sadly I haven't played this game, but it seems to be the cheapest weapon. Because we could pretty much cakewalk the game through this with this weapon. Have you played Resident Evil 4?
Yeah, I have played it, the Wii version. It wasn't even that great. I don't know what the heck these people are talking about.
I wouldn't know, because I never played the game. But do you know this weapon?
The Resident Evil series is just overhyped, and I do not agree with this list, this number one.
Number one is the Plague and Removal Laser. I will play this game just to check out that weapon, see how cheap it was. I would say it would have been, I thought it would have been like the Gravity Gun or something from Half-Life 2, but who knows. But it is a featured list on GameFAQs, so it seems to be about accurate.
Well, one day we'll have our own list, and it'll be way better than this.
Next week we will have our own list.
Sounds awesome.
Okay, guys, let's move on to our next section. Okay, guys, we got a special guest here. His name is TYP, and he's from... Why don't you introduce yourself?
Yo, everyone. Hey, I'm known as TYP.
Yeah, he's TYP, and he's from another podcast called Anime Online. You should guys go listen to it. We'll put the link up on our show notes once we're done this episode of the great anime podcast. And we're going to start our new section, Video Game Trivia. And this week, we got our first contestant right here, TYP. We're going to ask him some video game-related questions, and let's see if we can get them. You ready, TYP? What?
Or Daisuke, whatever. But anyway.
Okay, what do you want to be called, Daisuke or TYP?
Daisuke.
Daisuke, I don't know what the hell is that from, but yeah. Okay. Yeah, it is from the podcast. All right, let's ask you video game trivia. Okay, first question. What is the game that combines both Square Enix and Disney characters together?
But I knew it was King of Hearts.
Did you? Okay. We'll count that as wrong.
Oh, God.
All right. Yes, you are. What game is Tetris based on? Oh, no. Sorry. Let me rephrase that question. What country is Tetris based on? Or where was it made?
Sweden.
Wrong. It's
Russia.
Exactly.
I was close. I got a white country.
Yes, it is Russia. Okay, we asked this question to everybody. Who is Mario's brother?
Luigi, maybe?
No.
Correct. If it was the other guy, it would have been wrong, but yes, it is Luigi.
Yes, 1 point.
Yes, you get 1 point. Fourth question here is... Who is the creator of Mario, Donkey Kong, and Legend of Zelda? Not Nintendo. The actual the guy who started it.
Something, 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 something.
No, it starts with an S.
No, it's S, and then his name is Toad something.
Incorrect. Chisholm, give us the name.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Next question we got is, what was the last console that Sega created?
Dreamcast?
No, it's Saturn.
Correct. It is the Sega Dreamcast. Woo!
Man,
you got that answer.
Seriously.
All right. Next, sixth question.
I should get points for these distractions.
Yes, you should. Who is Mario's green dinosaur friend?
Is he even a dinosaur? Yoshi's a dinosaur?
Correct. It is Yoshi.
It's a lizard.
Next question. Who is the creator of Grand Theft Auto series?
Some guy has too much time on his hands.
Rockstar.
Well, Daisuke got it wrong, so we're going to count that as incorrect. It's Rockstar. And it's based on my nickname, too, which is cool. All right, next question. I'll let Chisholm ask this one.
What game series stars Master Chef?
Master Chef.
Halo.
Yeah, I meant Master Chief.
Correct. It's the Halo series. Second last question, two more. Name five video game systems.
Five of them. Five video game systems? They have to be independent systems?
No, it doesn't matter. Just name something. If you know five, then I say you're a pretty casual gamer.
Good. N64, PS1, PS2, PS3, Wii.
Correct. Somebody actually knows his systems. Yes. Alright, the last question here. What game is Solid Snake from?
Solid Snake, he's from a series again, the Metal Gear Solid series.
Wow. Correct.
Pretty impressive that he would know about Metal Gear Solid.
Yes. Let's count up the score here and see what he got. All right, Daisuke, you got 6 out of 10 right, which means you pass.
I'm very happy for passing. Yay, what do I get?
You get a free Facebook ad from me.
Yes, Facebook.
Yes. Facebook. All right, let's move on to our next section. Oh god, what a horrible theme that was.
Well, I can't say that, but yeah, you can see where you're getting at.
Yeah, it's pretty horrible. Alright, let's get to our next section, video game reviews. And Chisholm decided to go emo, so he's going to be out for this review. He's going to be in for the next one. So, what do we got today?
We have Baten Kaitos, or Baten Kaitos.
I call it Baten Kaitos. Basically, it's one of the more underrated RPGs for the GameCube. Let me explain to you what it's about. Basically, you're a guy named Callus, a blue-haired guy. He has a broken wing. He's on a quest to kill Giacomito, who killed your brother. And trust me, after that, the plot just goes somewhere, if you know what I mean.
Well, that's the standard RPG. If it is that simple, then absolutely no one would play it at all.
No kidding, though, because this is one of the RPGs that have, like, the biggest plot. Anyways, it's a card-based RPG. Basically, you have cards, which do different things, such as attack, defend, heal. It's not like your standard RPG. You use cards. And it's like real cards, too, because you can do combos with it, because it has these numbers in the corner. So you could do, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 9, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you know what I mean. And you could pretty much do combos with it. Like before, I was supposed to do like 500 damage, but I ended up doing like 5,000 damage.
Well, the card system isn't really revolutionary, but like I think it fits this game quite well because it adds a little element to it rather than like the simple turn-based strategy where with most of Final Fantasy series where you just select your attack and you go.
Yeah, it was the first card-based RPG I played. It was pretty good and all. But gameplay-wise, it's alright. But there's a couple of flaws towards the gameplay, I'd say. Remember leveling up? Like, you had to go straight to the church to level up rather than in the battle?
Alright, that was very, very stupid. Like, if you never went to the church, you could never level up. So I found that was very odd.
Yeah, it was, and there's a certain part in the game where you don't see a church for a long time, and you're stuck in this ship. So basically, if you're underleveled, you're pretty much screwed yourself in the game. So that's one of the flaws, I think. They should never do that again. What a horrible idea. But in general, the gameplay is pretty good. It's pretty fun. The story is pretty engaging, I'd have to say. Good story and everything. Let's talk about the graphics here. What did you think? How do you think it looked?
The graphics was one of, I think, its best factors in this game. Like, when they went for their attacks, the attacks went through seamlessly. Like, you would usually have a final attack at the end of your card combo. And usually the final attack was pretty spectacular. Like, you'd have a pretty nice special. So I think, the colors were really vivid. Very nice.
To add to that point, the pre-rendered backgrounds for Baten Kaitos are really well done. I think that's what makes the games look good. I mean, the graphics are pretty GameCube standard, but the pre-rendered backgrounds make the game so much more nice looking. I mean, the drawings really capture that fantasy feel of an RPG, well, Baten Kaitos in particular. So, I don't know, if you look at it now, like, if we're like in 2008, the graphics still look pretty good on the GameCube, so that's a pretty good thing there. Okay, music. I'll let you start on this. What do you think of the music?
I like the music. It fit very well. You had like pretty big change of music as you were going from I wouldn't call them cities or towns, but different areas of the game. Some areas like this this Negaverse, and you would have this really freaky music and like really cheerful towns, like this town that was like practically made of food, I believe, or something, and you get a lot of food. It was really cheerful. So I like
the chocolate place.
The chocolate place. Yes, that was nice.
Okay, let me just put it straight. My opinion, the by far the best part of Baton Kaitos is the music. It's the only reason why I play it sometimes. It surpasses the RPG standard music. I don't know. I don't care what you think, but it is probably the best RPG music out there.
Okay, the music, like background music, sure. But each, like, in every RPG, the main thing is the character themes. Their character themes were kind of dull. Like, you could barely tell for each character if they had their own music or not. But,
yeah, honestly, I didn't really care about the character themes. I just thought about, like, the stages and battle themes that suck. And surprisingly, it's not, like, it's always the breathtaking music that you'd find in most RPGs. There's actually a lot of variety in it. Like, you can, like George said, you could have the cheerful towns, the scary library music, or the dance music that you're battling to against one of the bosses. Yeah, it goes from like rock, dance, to Celtic. And I'll be honest with you, I couldn't find the soundtrack, so I downloaded it. I listen to it pretty much every day, so honestly, it's one of the best soundtracks of all time. I mean, if they were doing I know in Super Smash Bros. Brawl, they were doing remakes for soundtracks. They should have done it for Baton Kaitos. It would have been awesome. On another note, the voice acting, that's something else.
Okay, I'm a big critic on voice acting.
No kidding. He's wants to be a voice actor, Daisuke.
No, that's okay, that's my like hidden ambition. But like the voice acting, okay. There's nothing wrong with their voices. All their voices fit perfectly. What I'm saying is the way they say their lines is just flawed. It's so fake. It's like so hollow and empty when they say their lines.
No kidding. It's like in Resident Evil 1, it's like, don't touch that door. Like, kind of like that voice acting. I don't know what happened there, because I looked at the credits, and these voice actors are pretty good in most games, but I don't know what happened here, because
there's, like, nothing wrong with their voices. They're good voice actors, and their voices fit perfectly, but I don't know. They were probably just really tired when they were doing it, and they just didn't feel like putting in the effort.
That, or they were really on a low budget, because if you hear their voices really clearly, it really sounds bad. It's like coming out of a tube or something. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah, so music is awesome. I would have gave it a 10, the music, but the voice acting brought it down a little bit, 0.5. I don't think Daisuke agrees with that. I think he really does not like the voice acting.
Well, the voices, yes, those are good voices. The acting sucks, so it should have brought it down a bit more.
No. Music's so good that it's just a minor flaw. I'll get back to the music afterwards. Let's talk about the controls. I think they were pretty straightforward. Most RPGs are pretty simple. Once you get used to the controls in Baton Kaitos, in battle, you'll probably be using the C-stick to do combos, like pressing the buttons. But I found it pretty difficult to get the numbers, didn't you?
The numbers, well, I kept my combos relatively simple.
You just pressed A.
Yes, I just pressed A because I would set up my deck, because in this game you can like pick, you would get cards throughout the game and you would get to pick what's in your deck. And like I put in like I tried to keep statuses that counter each other out of my deck as much as possible. And yeah, I just kept my deck simple, so whatever I picked it would usually help. Like lots of fives or lots of threes and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, he kept it simple. Well, I tried to make a combo-ish deck, and it can be pretty hard to hit the number that you want to because of the way it's set up, because you have to hit it on a diagonal angle rather than a straight, which is funny too, because there's a status called confusion, which puts your numbers on the side of the card, which actually makes it easier to get the number. So I think the controls are a bit messed up there. I found it easier to use on my bigger controller, so it's okay, but that's one flaw that I found with the controls for it. Let's talk about the value. I mean, would you consider this game a rent or a buy?
Considering there isn't that much choice for like RPGs on.
Okay, well, let me just put it straight to you. For the soundtrack, this is pretty much a must buy because this is one of the best soundtracks of all time. RPG wise, if this is just for If you have a PS2 or anything, this is probably not the RPG for you, because there's tons of better RPGs in general. If you only have a GameCube like Daisuke does, I would definitely get it, because there aren't that many RPG choices there. Don't rent this game. I would never rent this game. You should never, as a general rule, you should never rent RPGs, because you're just going to get addicted to it, and you're going to pretty much buy it. And it's pretty hard to finish, like, around the time you're supposed to give it back, legally. If you hate RPGs, obviously, like Chisholm, don't get this game. You got anything else to add?
Well, this isn't, like, okay, this is one of the better RPGs, but I played Tales of Symphonia right after this. And
I never played that game.
I found that was a brilliant RPG, which exceeds this. Well, maybe Bane Kratos exceeds Tales of Symphonia only in graphics, I believe. Everything.
It's almost soundtrack-wise.
Soundtrack Tales of Symphonia has a really nice soundtrack.
It's probably not as good.
It's not as complex as Bane Kratos, but it's a very nice soundtrack. And, like, the voice acting is so nice in that game.
Okay, that does it for him. That's the reason why. Because of the voice acting. As we could say, Daisuke is big on the voice acting.
But the voices are just so nice, because you can just get immersed in that game. But Bane Kratos, I think it's a definite buy. If you're an RPGer or RPG gamer, and, like, you want something for the GameCube, it's a definite buy.
Yeah, and if you have a PS2 or anything, then you just want to play an RPG, I would just skip this. But for the soundtrack, definitely get it. All right, let's just summarize it up. Let's talk about the good things. Good things, obviously, like I said, soundtrack, best part of the game, the pre-rendered backgrounds, the animations for the final attacks are good, interesting story. I mean, enough plot twists. I mean, I can't even remember how the story went. It was so confusing, but it made so much sense when I was playing it.
The introduction of characters was really special, because, like, it's not just a random character that comes in your party. There's actually a background story to every character as why they join your party and everything, and they all connect, which is pretty good.
Exactly. Yeah, that was pretty much the good parts. It's a pretty fun game for card-based RPGs. Most card-based RPGs are pretty crap, but this one's alright, actually. They did a good job. Namco did a good job with this. Anything other good parts you gotta say?
I think we covered many of them. Like, I personally aren't a big fan of card-based RPGs, but I enjoyed this one. I thought it was okay.
Yes. All right, let's talk about the cons. Obviously. Okay, I'll let you do this. Get to it.
The voice acting. Goddamn voice acting. But I'm probably being really, really harsh. The voice acting wasn't as bad as I was saying, but sometimes when they're talking during the attacks, it sounds so forced, and even when they're talking during the game, it's not like they're talking to each other. It's so odd.
He can go on and on about the voice acting, but yeah, just to let you guys know, before you play this game, get used to the horrible voice acting, or just turn it off in general. Like I said, the controls aren't that intuitive, so you're going to have to get used to it. Okay, some gameplay elements are pretty flawed, too. I mean, the gameplay is pretty... Some parts of the gameplay, like I said, are pretty flawed. I mean, like, the save system, the whole leveling up, that doesn't make sense. It should be pretty much straightforward. That's pretty much it. Some parts of the game are pretty tedious, too. Like, you have to face this boss twice in a row without a break, which is kind of annoying. I don't know why you got to do that. I don't know what they were smoking at that time. Other than that, that's the only flaws I find in this game. What about you, Daisuke? You got anything else to add
to the flaws? No, everything, like, what I liked was it went pretty smoothly, but there were actually parts. Some of the cities were really hard to navigate. I thought that was a flaw, because you have no idea where you're going next, and you have to search places that, well, I guess it has added value, but it would get confusing if you wanted to continue and you couldn't continue.
That's right. Some of the cities were pretty annoying. Not mapped out well. That's all I gotta say about that. Out of 10, what would you give Baten Kaitos?
It definitely deserves an 8. But no more than 8.
Yeah, average RPG. Obviously the voice acting gets to him. Well, after all these things, I mean, everything is pretty above standard. The soundtrack is perfect, I gotta say. But there's some things that make it flawed. So I'm going to give it a 9.0. Simply because the soundtrack is simply amazing. And deserves a recognition. Because it really is an underrated RPG.
But a game isn't its soundtrack. A game contains the gameplay and the soundtrack and the graphics and the voice acting.
But it implements the soundtrack so well. I mean, it wouldn't work for like a music soundtrack in general. It just works for this video game. So 9.0 is an awesome score.